Good, said my companion Angel, we don't want to keep you any longer. I will explain your work to your sister. Just go and come back again. Yes, she said, it is good. But I just don't think it's right. I lived the same life as my sister, we had the same parents, we worked the same, and I am certainly not as well off as my sister. She has advantages here again, and I just don't think that's right. So she complained, and the angel gave her no more answer. He gallantly opened the door for her and pushed her in. Then he said to me, look at this pile of stones. It was a big pile, and I asked, what does my sister have to do with it? He replied, your sister is carrying these heavy stones away. Pick one up. I took one in my hand, and I had the feeling that they were all heavy, whereas I had previously observed that all spiritual matter was very light. But these stones were heavy, as I felt as a human being. Then I wanted to know, what is the point of it? Where does she have to carry these stones? And why do we need stones at all? Oh, said my companion, I told you, you will be informed about it. In everything that is here, no matter what level it is, whether deep or high, everywhere in these stones too, there is life, life that also develops, that also has to move forward, that has its meaning. I could not understand what was meant by this life. But where should she carry the stones? Yes, he said, where you live and where your father lives, and everywhere in general, just look at this big valley, there are many paths. It has rivers, it has streams, it has gardens, you see many things, and if you look carefully, you will also see stones. Your sister now carries these stones to very specific places, on instruction, a pile here and a pile there. But she always stays on her level, she cannot climb to your height. But she can go near her father if she wants to, but she does not seek him out. She is told beforehand where she has to carry the stones, she carries the stones out, you saw the basket. And her siblings, meaning those in the common room, have to sort the stones according to size and color. Color is perhaps too much to say, the stones are marked, and according to this mark they must be put together and taken to specific places. They are carried there, and it is hard and arduous for her to do this work. But she does not have to carry these stones all the time, she has to spend a lot of time in the common room and is taught. She also has the opportunity to pray and sing. But at least that, I thought, so she does not have to do this hard work all the time. Then I said, please tell me at least in a few words, what kind of life is in these stones, what meaning does it have? Yes, these stones here, as you see them, are monotonous. They are not beautiful, they are misshapen, they have no color, you do not see life. But when they pass through the hands of these beings, a small change takes place, just a small one. And at the place where they are put back, a very slight change occurs in them. The stones do not stay in the same place, they are carried away again. I would almost compare them to a fruit that has to ripen, it is placed further and further in the sun so that it can ripen. But this does not mean the sun in human terms, but rather the spiritual power, the spiritual sun. So a change then takes place for this stone from one level to another. This stone is always in your sister's sphere, but for it, it is not always the same, but something different, because the stages of development of a sphere are interwoven. That is how my companion explained it to me. He led me to my heights and I directed my attention to the stones. Now I had to see how the stones in my surroundings were full of colors, they were different colors. And they were beautiful. I picked them up and I found them light and beautiful, I threw them up, played with them and asked, are these the same stones? He replied, no, they are not the same stones. You can see that a completely different transformation has taken place here. These are not the same stones as those that your sister is carrying. But that is also something in itself, there is life in it too, and this life has its higher level. Then I said, I find the stones here in front of the houses and on the paths wonderful. They give a wondrous impression. Everything is so colorful and beautiful to look at. Yes, he answered, everything is connected with one another. These stones here are moving toward their higher level of development, and in doing so they fill the atmosphere with loveliness. For them, this is again a very special path of development. They have been purified, they have been wrapped in their colors, they have reached that certain maturity. And then the workers of this heavenly sphere come again and carry these stones in their arms in loveliness, without any trouble, to their destination, where the blessed hands of heavenly messengers then envelop them and clothe them in the garment they belong in. This is how they explained it to me. For me, everything was so unbelievable, incomprehensible. I was supposed to be informed about it. Now I wanted to know, what does my mother do? And what is my work? I wanted to earn a lot, I wanted my father to be better off. We visited my mother and full of amazement and joy I realized, it was the same house as mine. It was also so colorful, with a flower garden and wreathed with these colorful stones, it was so beautiful. My mother's work was in the gardens of God. In her life she had had to endure a lot, she had borne ridicule and shame because of her father calmly. She had been a pious woman, had done what good she could, she had prayed a lot, she had been a kind, good woman. Now my companion angel said to her, "Come, show us your work yourself, show us what you do." "Yes," she replied full of joy, and she also fetched a basket from her house. It was beautiful, I had never seen one in this shape in my human life, so elegant and beautiful. The basket had a short handle, and I had the feeling that so many things could sink into it or find space. It was something strange for me. Then the accompanying angel said to my mother, "Come quickly, dear sister, and show your former daughter," he emphasized, "how you work and what your work is for." Now we had a path to walk along and came to a large, large field of flowers. Here my mother walked through these flowers, she stepped through them. I was also asked to step into the field, and strangely enough, no one trampled on any flowers, even though we were standing in the middle of the most beautiful flowers. They had bent over a little, and with the next step they straightened up again. Now my mother showed me that these flowers were full of pollen. They were such beautiful, bell-shaped flowers with dense pollen. She then took her basket, held it under these bell flowers and stroked them with her hands and collected nothing but this pollen, the whole basket full. I had to marvel at this too. "Yes, that is your work. Why do you have to do this?" It was strange for me, and again I got the same answer. "It is impossible that you can grasp everything now. But there is life and development in this pollen too. It too is brought forward and carried forward." "Yes, my mother was to do nothing else but collect this pollen." We accompanied her back to her house, and there we saw one basket next to the other, full, full of this pollen. "Where does this pollen go?" "Others come and collect these baskets with this fragrant dust and carry it away to another world, to another sphere, they need this dust." "Yes, I believed that in the kingdom of heaven everything simply grew by itself, the flowers and everything was just there." I was told, "Oh yes, that's true, it grows wonderfully, but it also has to be sown. But this dust that was collected is also clothed, it also gets its clothing. This is the spiritual form, the spiritual substance, and this substance is necessary for another world." "For which world? Who needs it?" "In order for people to receive what they ask and pray for, it is necessary that the spiritual side places the blessing in their soil for them to develop. In this pollen lie the powers and the blessing that will find their expansion in the earthly kingdom." Here, too, I was to be taught more about all of these things later. "Yes, that was my mother's work." So I asked her, "Why don't you go to Father? He needs you. And don't you get a reward for this work?" My mother replied, "Yes, I get a salary. I was given this work, and I do it conscientiously, it is a wonderful job. I also have the opportunity to pray a lot and to come into contact with these heavenly beings, to talk to them. I assume that you too meet them and are taught by them." Then she continued, "You cannot yet understand it, and you consider my work to be pointless. It is a small job that I do here in God's vineyard with an infinite number of other beings, but it is not pointless. It is absolutely necessary that this work be done. And why do I not go to Father? I pray for him, and I have recommended that my companion angel visit him. I cannot go past him, it hurts me too much to see him in his misery, and I do not believe that I have the opportunity, I alone, to rescue him from his distress. I would rather not see where he is. That's what my mother said to me. I myself had a different opinion. Then, when I was alone with my companion, I asked him, "Do you feel that my mother acted correctly, spoke correctly? Shouldn't we help those in distress?" The angel answered, "It is her freedom, she doesn't have to. She prays for him, it's good. Your father has to go through this difficult time. But if you want to do a lot of work for him, as you believe, then you cannot decide that alone. You must have the consent of the others. Just think what a mess there would be if everyone could do as they pleased, if they could say, 'I'm going to take on this work and do it, and in doing so I expect my father, my mother, my husband and so on to be freed.' That's not possible." I replied, "Then at least try to pave the way for me so that I can meet the man who has power over my father and who can relieve him of some of his distress." "I will do it," he said. "But first I wanted to know, what kind of work should I do? Do I have to collect this pollen too, or what do I have to do? Or do I have to carry stones around?" "You don't have to do any of that," he replied, "we have a completely different task for you. It is in the act, you meet others with love and to help them. We will then turn to people, there, with them, you have the work that you can do. Because I have the feeling that you would not be satisfied with the work that your mother or your sister does, so we will give you another one straight away." "I would be satisfied with anything," I said, "I just want to work enough to earn a lot." Then someone said to me, "You must get rid of these feelings of earning a lot. In heaven you cannot say, 'I want to do this in order to earn as much as possible.' That is not the case, it is much more important to achieve great things. And those who are above us give the reward. They know whether a large or a small reward must be paid. It all depends on the individual's attitude, zeal and will. You do not pay in the same way as in the human kingdom. You still have to learn a few things here." Yes, I wanted to do everything. But now I had only one desire, to meet the one who would enable me to make things easier for the Father. "Who is he?" I asked. "What is his name? How should I stand in front of him? How should I greet him?" My companion answered me, "Do as I do. No special respect is paid here, but you may bow your head a little more before him." Yes, I wanted to know if it was perhaps Christ, I had prayed to him so much. Then he said, "No, no, not that yet, but someone who is very close to Christ and who acts on his behalf, you may present your request to him." Then I was led to him, that is, I was in my house in the common room with the others and was listening to a lecture. Then it was interrupted and they said we were going to have a visitor. Everyone started clapping their hands and I did the same. Then he came, the very man my companion said knew about my father and made decisions. Then I was asked to go to him and present my request. But I was a little shy and looked around to see if the others had something to say too. And they smiled. I was a little more trusting when the others looked at me so lovingly. Then I told it like it was. I had a father who drank a lot and he didn't live well and he doesn't live in a particularly nice world. Can you allow me to suffer for him or to do something for him? I asked him, make it possible for me. It cannot be that my father has to live in this distress for so long while I am doing well. After all, he was my biological father, I owe it to him. He answered, you are a good person, you have a good soul, you want to do something for your father. Good, you should do something for your father. And he gave me three tasks straight away. If I fulfilled them as he wished, then I could get my father out of the hut and bring him into the light a little more. I asked, yes, what kind of tasks are these? He answered me, go and visit people. Go to those who are immersed in passion in a similar way and manner as your father was, and try to lead them away from it. If you can lead a person away from this passion three times in a row, if you can take up the fight with the others who stand in your way three times in a row, If you can do it, then I will allow you to do something for your father. Yes, I had to be taught more about this task and I was. I sought out people and I sought out those who were lost in passion. Now I saw them, those passionate spirits who clung to people, who embraced them and had attached themselves to them. And now I was to take up the fight with them. I saw that it was almost impossible, because these guys who had attached themselves to people were really full of passion. But I tried, I prayed, God, give me the strength and let me approach this person, so that he gives up his passion, so that he goes home, so that he fulfills his duty, so that he becomes sensible, so that he does not do evil. I approached these spirit beings. I grabbed them quite roughly by the arms and tried to throw them away. They were surprised that someone had come so suddenly and they called me the worst names because I, as a female, dared to go against them. But I had strength, I was strong, I had taken this strength with me from my human life. I had needed it back then, because I had to do hard and difficult work in my human life. I thanked God and said to him, "You gave me this strength, it has stayed with me, and I will deal with these people too." I grabbed them, one after the other, and threw them away. Then I hugged this person, I wrapped my arms around him and did not move away from him. I pulled him, I talked to him and had such an effect on him that I managed to get him to stop the evil deed. I managed to do this 3 times in a row, but it was a great effort on my part. But I managed it thanks to my goodwill, my strength and my energy. Then I went back to my companion and said, "I think I have done my work, I have accomplished it." People had been watching me, they had seen everything I had done. And now I was to go to my father and tell him, "I have done something for you, I have done something, I have kept people on earth from doing evil. I have been able to prevent harm and as a result my work has been blessed for me and in return I can bring you relief." So I went and told my father. I took him by the hand, prayed with him and said to him, "Through God's love and goodness I have been allowed to take you out of your distress a little." And I was allowed to go out of the darkness with him, but I did not know how far. My companion walked ahead of me and said, "I will stop when we have reached the point where your father has to stay." I was full of fear and thought, "Oh, if only he runs forward, if only he goes forward, out of this darkness, out of the darkness." And I said to my father, "Father, pray. Father, pray. Don't think back to life anymore, but think about doing good, think about wanting to do good, don't think back anymore." And my companion walked a long way forward until he stopped. Then he said, "Here, this is to be your father's new home." There was also a house there, but it was no longer such a dilapidated hut. And there were friends here, they were in good spirits, they sang, they prayed, and they were so peaceful and full of love. They greeted my father when he came and said, "It is nice to welcome someone here again." My father opened his eyes wide and I felt as if a heavy burden had been lifted from him. I also thought that his appearance had improved, he no longer looked so gloomy. I also thought I noticed a change in his clothes. He just suddenly looked completely different. He thanked me and said, "Maria, you have always remained the same. How I have to thank God for giving me such a good child. I will never forget that you have freed me here and rescued me from this distress. I will never think back to the horrible life I lived. And I will be ready, like you, to do everything to please God. I will only ask that you always stand by my side and show me the way, what I have to do." So I helped my father, and I had an inner joy at having accomplished something so great. Now I only had the desire to help others too. If I was able to get my father out of this distress, then I should be able to do the same for others. But they said to me, "No. Just slowly, slowly, one thing at a time. First you go back to your house and we will start with the lessons, for you must be taught about what was not possible for you in the earthly kingdom. You must be taught about many wrong thoughts and wrong actions. In this way you will find clarity, and only then, when you have gone through these various teachings, will you be able to work even more effectively in God's plan of salvation. So I went through these schools and I was given explanations and I am still given such explanations. I am always ready to take on something, to fight a battle, so that liberation comes to a being, be it a human being or a soul in the afterlife. I tried to fight for it, and I receive my reward for it. My reward is that, in the free time that is available to me, the way is open to me to the most beautiful temples, where one can come to sing, to rejoice, to the glory of God, where the angels of heaven have descended to proclaim the glory of God to all the ends of heaven, and so one can take part in it as a reward. There is also a completely different reward waiting for one, but I do not want to talk about it. I do not want to talk about personal rewards, but I only want to talk about the important things, only to emphasize what is necessary to do when one is in the other world. If one wants to share in the glory of heaven, then one must also be prepared to actively help to bring up the unfortunate brothers and sisters. So I have fulfilled my task with you, and I am withdrawing into my world. May God bless you all. God bless you. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, many questions have certainly arisen in your mind, but time has advanced. Our friend went into a bit of detail in her explanation, and a bit of time has passed. If you are not too tired, I will be happy to answer a few more questions, but I would recommend that you do not go into too much detail. Dear Joseph, in what time did Mary live? Joseph, 500 years ago. Thank you. Did she live in Austria? Joseph, yes. Dear Joseph, it is astonishing how much strength this sister mustered after such a short time in the afterlife to free these people on earth from the lower spirits. Is that because she had to endure so much on earth herself? Joseph, she had a noble disposition. The abilities of the spirit beings also differ from one to the other. In one, let's say, this power is present, while in the other, there are spiritual abilities that develop more in the spirit realm. Of course, she had received support through her urge to do good and to help. It all depends on how much you are imbued with this will to help, whether it is just a superficial desire to achieve something because you want something yourself. Because human nature is like this, you say to yourself, if I achieve what I want, then I will help the other person too. But if you start from the principle, I want to do everything, I want to take on the hardest things just to make things easier for the other person, then you receive great support and a corresponding reward. May I know what the next development of these spiritual stones is? Joseph, yes, that would probably take too long to explain, I can't now. Based on the description, we were able to determine that certain influences, such as touching these stones, bring about a change. Joseph, in the spiritual realm, the influences are infinitely diverse. Each spirit is an evolving personality that has to exert its influence on the other. I would like to say, it is the same as with a magnet or a fire, so there are different ways of influencing the other. Because just as you humans have their magnetism, charisma, so does every being in the spiritual world, and this is necessary for all spiritual growth, because one is connected to and dependent on the other. Dear Joseph, we have a lot of new friends among us. Some of the things that Mary told us are probably very strange to them, such as the fact that there are also objects in heaven. Could you perhaps say a few words about this? Joseph, yes. I would just like to mention this very briefly and I have to say the same thing over and over again. People have a completely wrong idea of the other world, they have no idea at all, so to speak, or they think they are coming into an empty space. And yet they want to believe that heaven is beautiful. But something can only be beautiful, be it a house or anything else, if there is variety in it, only then does beauty come to expression. It must also, let us say, be noble in its form. So objects must be present in order to be able to speak of beauty. The angelic beings are dressed in colorful clothes, in splendid, beautiful, magnificent garments, and they can change their garments. In the highest heavens there are the most precious objects that one can imagine. Perhaps one must also say to people, Everything that is with you is first present in the spiritual realm, because it could not be with you if it were not first present in the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual realm lies that core of development, that possibility of development. What grows with you or what is created with you, is wrapped in this earthly matter. It is surrounded by your vibration, which is so condensed compared to our vibration that it has taken on this form. So you must actually imagine all these earthly things in their original state or think about them. Why is this chair there? Why this cushion, the clothes, all this? You must trace the origin of all this material and ask yourself further, how did it come into being? Why is it like this? It grew out of the earth. A seed was once planted for it. And then further, where did this seed come from? Who gave the blessing to flourish? It is God who must give this blessing. The various changes that come through your seasons are necessary, depending on the area where people live. Accordingly, the influence from the spiritual side is to condense this earthly matter, so that it becomes possible for people to have these materials and to form objects. Everything that you have, we have had in the spiritual realm for a long time. There is nothing that we do not have. But you must not forget, you live in a world of imperfection. This chair, the most beautiful carpet you can imagine, everything that may be so beautiful is imperfect, it is not perfect. Only we have the perfect, in the spiritual realm. But you cannot grasp it, your eyes cannot see anything perfect, that is why you cannot understand it. But in the spiritual realm, when you have reached those levels, you will see perfection, and you will then understand and comprehend that even the most beautiful thing that man has is a shadow of the perfection that is in the spiritual realm. And so I can only say one thing, whoever wants to look forward to the other life and is looking forward to it, may be happy, he will encounter many wonderful and beautiful things. But this beauty must be earned through spiritual life. For the interests of the spiritual world are not the interests that people have. People strive for comfort, for security, and then perhaps the relationship with God comes later, but first comes the person himself. And if there is a person behind the next door who is in spiritual distress and need, you turn away from him, you don't go to him, you don't want to get involved in those situations, you don't want to have any trouble, you want your own peace. You want your comfort. You don't want to have any inconveniences. You want to avoid anything that causes inconvenience as much as possible. It is not possible for a person to find the right path to spiritual life overnight. Only when he has spent a long time at a spiritual school and has also received some inspiration and been taught, does he know where he can stop and where he has to offer his hand to help and where it may be necessary to confront a person with very forceful words. He then knows that one must really aim not to look first for one's own comfort, but rather to look after the salvation and comfort of others. If everyone did that, if everyone was only concerned about doing everything for the sake of others and everything to remove from the way what is not pleasing to him, then you would have peace on earth. But think for a moment, is that possible for you? You people live in a world of imperfection. But you should strive for perfection. You should become perfect as the Father is perfect, Matt. 5:48. You know that this is a long way, even if you want to be honest. Now, my dear friends, we have the opportunity to meet again. The time has come. May God's blessing fill you all. May you be healthy in body and soul. Greetings from God. Report of the Ascending Spirit being Mary and answers to questions from Spirit Teacher Joseph by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Münchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. This was page 140, of the Reports of Experiences 1960-1961. Next case. September 7, 1960, Sophie dissatisfaction and lovelessness. Overcome by a difficult purification. A life in the service of fellow human beings is in prospect, which requires kindness, tolerance and compassion. Greetings from the controlling spirit. Sophie, greetings from God. Dear brothers and sisters, when I tell you about my first experiences in the afterlife, I would like to say in advance that I have since come to a better understanding. To help you understand it better, I must first briefly talk about my last life on Earth. I was a farmer's wife, had many children and lived in poverty.